Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Well, the world is a flutter with Harry Potter at the moment. Bookshops at the weekend were a frenzy, with kids and parents queuing up to secure their copy of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the final instalment about the boy wizard. And of course, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is on at the movies at the moment. Connie Neal is an author, authored a number of books on the Harry phenomenon, including The Gospel According to Harry Potter and What's a Christian to Do with Harry Potter, and she joins us now from the US. Connie, welcome to Australia, I guess I could say.
Yes, thank you. It's a privilege. I also have one brand new book called Wizards, Wardrobes, and Wookiees, Navigating Good and Evil in Harry Potter, Narnia, and Star Wars.
Okay, so you're the person we need to talk to.
Yeah.
Now, it's very early days. Were you able to sneak out a secret copy of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at all?
No, but I didn't feel bad, because when I saw Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter, interviewed on Larry King last night, he didn't get an advance copy either.
Okay.
So he is waiting with bated breath, or he was, you know, till that final moment to get the book.
Okay, but you've seen The Order of the Phoenix.
I have.
Okay.
We went out as a family and saw it at midnight, the moment it released, and of all the movies, it is by far, I think, the best, except maybe the first movie, which was just so exciting because it was our first chance to see, you know, Quidditch and Hogwarts and all of that. Truly a battle between good and evil, and it's beautiful. It's just a wonderful, exciting, scary. I mean, it's a bit scary, especially toward the end.
So,
but,
Connie,
but very good.
So, Connie, you said you went out as a family to go and see it. So,
yes.
You've had no problem reading the Harry Potter books to your kids?
Well, I first read them in 1999. I read the first one thinking that as a Christian mom, I might be telling my kids why they couldn't read it. But as soon as I read it, I saw that it was a fairy tale. There were wonderful themes that I could discuss important issues with my children, not the least of which was, you know, the witchcraft, you don't try this at home. But I waited, and I found that the rewards were far more than the risks. Once I explained to my children, I'm not endorsing practicing witchcraft. This is what the author used as a literary device. And so we began with the first book. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, because I read it aloud and I did voices and things. And now every book we have to, I am required to buy it at midnight. And we as a family sit down and I read it aloud before everyone reads it on their own.
Is that right? Okay. So it's become a bit of a tradition for you.
Well, the first books were only 200 and some pages. Now they're up to 800, nearing 1,000 pages. So I'm in deep.
You've got a long weekend ahead of you. Now, you then started writing books about Harry Potter. What kind of response did you get from readers about your books about Harry Potter initially?
Well, initially, I could not find a Christian publisher that wanted to publish my book, because I was standing up and saying, hey, wait a minute, Harry Potter doesn't have to be bad. And a lot of people, especially here in the States, were passing around emails that were not true, of terrifying things, saying that millions of children had become Satanists because
That's
right. of Harry Potter. Mm. And Christian media representatives were having shows, you know, that were portraying Harry Potter as if it was trying to lead children into the occult. So there was great fear, and when I came out with my first book, What's a Christian to Do with Harry Potter, I presented both sides and tried to teach people you can see it as a fantasy story, just like with Wizard of Oz. Glinda the Good Witch is very pretty, and she does get Dorothy home at the end of the Wizard of Oz, but we don't believe in witchcraft. Or if you're going to look at it and say, but look, they do divination, and they do fortune telling, and they do casting spells, and the Bible says don't do these things, well, I'm not practicing those things just because I accept a fantasy story that uses them. So I tried to help people weigh both sides, but there were many Christian bookstores here in the States that would not carry my books, and some of them still won't carry any of my books, even non-Harry Potter-related books.
Okay.
So I paid a price, but overall, I really believe I've helped people see the good in these stories and diffuse any danger if a child was getting interested in the occult. You know, how to lead them away from that. But I don't see Harry Potter leading children into the occult. It's just not happening.
Okay, now what kind of research or figures do you have to back that up? Because some parents will still be a little bit concerned when it comes to some of the occultic aspects of the books.
Okay, you know what? When it comes to parenting, the statistics don't matter nearly so much as each parent knowing their own child. If only one child gets led into the occult because of this, and that's my child, I'm going to be really concerned. So for every parent, what I say to them is, you weigh it out. You know your child. You make sure that they are distinguishing between fantasy and reality, and if there's any indication that they're going toward the dark side. As a parent, I would put a stop to it and not let them read the books. So I encourage people not so much to, oh, just love Harry Potter, but as a parent, to parent your own children or your, you know, even through their teenage years, they need more parenting, I think, and make sure that they're getting good out of it instead of bad. And if they're not, don't let them do it, you know?
Okay. So, well, we're up to book number 7 in the series. As you review the whole series, what kind of themes have you found in the Harry Potter series that, you can actually affirm? What have you found to be good?
Well, and for parents with their children and teens especially, what I find is that the author has really captured the issues adolescents have to deal with as they're growing up. You have the various characters. You have Ron Weasley, who comes from a poor family and has to wear hand-me-down robes and has to take his lunch, and it's not what he likes. And you see that he's made fun of because he's low income. You see Harry, who's been physically abused by relatives who don't love him. You see Neville, who's kind of a klutz and you know, is always losing things and forgetting things. And you see Hermione, who, if she doesn't get straight A's, she just thinks she's going to die, you know? Mm-hmm. And so as you're talking to your own kids and teens, if they can share with you, well, which character do you relate to or identify with most? That can give you a real insight into how they perceive themselves. But the stories also have an overarching theme of friendship, courage, love, fighting evil, and the cost of fighting evil, but that if we band together, even the students, especially in the movie, okay, you see it, the movie for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, you see that the kids are in a situation where they get a new defense against the dark arts teacher, and she refuses to let them practice actually defending themselves against evil. So the kids decide, we're going to do it on our own. So they create this secret society, we are going to fight evil, and they practice defending themselves against evil, and they actually overcome evil. And I think especially in the world we live in, where there is the threat of terrorism, where there is fear, that may be unspoken, but anybody who knows what's going on understands you don't know who or what is around you, really. And these stories allow kids to imagine a situation that's very similar to that, where they band together with other people on the side of good, they do their part, and they overcome evil with good.
Okay.
And actually, Harry, there's a prophecy in this movie, too, where it says that Harry is the only one who has the power to defeat the Dark Lord. And when you find out what that power is, the power is love. Mm-hmm. And when you see Harry in the showdown with evil Lord Voldemort, what makes him able to overcome him is remembering the love of his parents, his godfather, his friends, his teachers. And so it really supports kids being connected to their families, holding on to love, not giving in to evil. And it's very uplifting and encouraging and strengthening in a very scary world.
Mm. Well, you've also written the book by the title The Gospel According to Harry Potter. So what are the Christian allusions or parallels that you've also seen in Harry Potter?
Well, actually, in the very first book, you see at the beginning of the story, Harry, the first chapter of the first book is called The Boy Who Lived. And you have a situation where before the story opens, there's a wizard who's gone bad. And he has come and terrorized the whole wizarding world with the curse of death. He comes to where Harry's family lives in Godric Hollow, and he throws the curse of death at Harry's father and murders him. And then he throws the curse of death at the baby. But Harry's mother, Lily, which always reminds me of the Easter Lily, she loved him so much that she jumped in front of the curse of death. She took the curse in his place. And because she died for him and sacrificed herself, when the evil wizard then throws the curse of death at the baby again, instead of killing Harry, the curse rebounds off of him and hits the evil one and destroys his power. And that lightning bolt scar, what I would tell my children, think of the lightning bolt. Remember, Jesus said that he saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. So if you look at the Christian story, before the world began, there was an angel who went bad. And in the Garden of Eden, he tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and the result was the curse of death. But Jesus came, and he jumped in front of the curse of death. He got on the cross, and the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, because he was sinless, unlike Lily Potter, he rose from the dead, and if we trust in him, we have a protection from the evil one. And at the end of that first Harry Potter book, Harry is confronted with Voldemort, who's working through Professor Quirrell. And he tells him, kill him, kill the boy. And Professor Quirrell goes to grab Harry by the throat, and he cannot touch him. His hands burn. And Harry later asks Professor Dumbledore, why couldn't he touch me? And Dumbledore said, Harry, to have been loved as much as your mother loved you when she died to protect you, it gives you a protection that stays with you forever, and the evil one cannot touch you. Mm-hmm. And that is a really beautiful picture of the sacrificial death of Christ that broke the power of sin and death.
Yeah, absolutely. And Connie,
and it just goes on and on.
Yeah, and I know that you haven't had a chance yet to stay up all night and read the latest book. But there are rumors going around, and you being an expert in these things probably have an idea as to whether it's true or not. But is there a bit of a sacrificial ending to this last book? Is
okay,
it true?
I don't know yet. I don't know. But I will tell you the theory, something. I will tell you a clue that we need to consider until we get to the end of the book and see. And that is this. J.K. Rowling was interviewed by Faith Today magazine in Canada. And the question was asked, now, people always ask you, do you believe in the occult? But I would like to ask you, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I do. And he said, oh, tell me more about your faith. Now, this was back after book three or four, somewhere in the middle. And she said something that really piqued my interest. She said, well, I don't want to say too much about my faith because my readers are very intelligent, whether they're 9 or 90. And if I speak too explicitly about my faith in God, they may be able to figure out where the story is headed.
Is that right?
And so I'm hoping that I can say to all those people who said it's evil, 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 I am hoping I can say, neener, neener, neen. No, it's not. So we shall see. We'll have to read quickly.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a long night for you. Well, look, thanks so much for joining us, Connie. It's really interesting. Hey, one last question. You've written now three books on the whole Harry Potter phenomenon. You haven't had a chance to yet meet J.K. Rowling. I would have thought that that would be a bit
of an
entree. I bet you are.
Well, you can pray about that. I have been authorized by Christianity Today to interview her if she will agree to let me.
Okay.
And anyone who wants to go to my website, it's www.connieneal.com. That's N-E-A-L. And I have a whole archive of articles related to these issues.
Very good. Connie, thanks so much for joining us on Open House tonight.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.